faithful proclamation of the message of God's Word is a very relevant message. It relates to the man right where he is.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
2 Timothy chapter 4, really verses 1 to 8, is a passage of Scripture that I believe reflects the burden of the Apostle Paul for the ministry. As I look at 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 8, I see, and perhaps there are other ways of looking at this, but as I see it, there are two great factors involved in New Testament ministry as presented in this passage. One, there is an emphasis on, the first great factor is this, there's an emphasis on proclamation. And that's verse 2, preach the word. The first significant factor in New Testament ministry is proclamation. You may never stand behind a pulpit and formally proclaim it, but every one of us has the God-given privilege and awesome responsibility to proclaim it and disseminate this message on a personal level day by day through our Christian witness, the way we live out our lives for God's glory. So the first great factor is proclamation of the Word of God. So he says in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And this first great emphasis of proclamation, I think there's a twofold emphasis in that verse. One, there's an emphasis on content. What am I to proclaim? Preach the word. And then secondly, there's an emphasis on character. What are the characteristics of this proclamation? He says, I want you to be urgent. Be instant in season, out of season. I want you to be relevant, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Then he says, I want you to be patient with all long suffering. And finally, I want you to be intelligent with all long suffering and doctrine or teaching in your proclamation of the Word of God. Now let's look at this for a moment. First of all, there's an emphasis on content. Paul says, I want you to preach the Word. And he means by that to say that to preach anything less than the Word is to preach infinitely too little. Not just something that is too little, it is infinitely too little. What is the great value of this Word of God? There's so many things we could say about it. We could spend weeks right on this subject. We won't do it. But what is the great value of the Word of God? Why is it so critical that we announce the Word, that we preach or proclaim in this biblical sense, the Word? May I suggest to you that the Word has at least four powerful functions which make it absolutely essential that we announce it? One, the Word judges. The Word of God is the very basis upon which a man will be judged as he stands before Jesus Christ. And on that basis, it is absolutely essential that we very clearly and precisely proclaim and expose the meaning of this Word. Jesus said in John 12, in verse 48, he that rejecteth me hath one that judgeth him. What is it? The Word. The Word judges. It's absolutely critical that we proclaim this message. It's the very basis of judgment when we stand before Jesus Christ. Our relationship to the Word of God and whether or not we've listened to its message and obeyed it. Secondly, the Word purifies. The Bible says, now ye are clean or purified through the Word, the Logos, which I have spoken unto you. John 15, verse 3. And then thirdly, the Word induces belief. The Bible says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, Acts 4 and verse 4. And then finally, the word induces not only belief, but birth. Peter says, being born again, or literally having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. So Paul says, I want you to preach the word. It's absolutely critical. That's the content. Now he says, I want you to see as well, not only the content, but the character of this proclamation. Very quickly, I'll just give you the outline. He says, here are four characteristics in this proclamation. He says, it is to be an urgent proclamation. Be instant, in season, out of season. What's it mean to be instant? It's no good to pass over these words without defining them, understanding them. What does it mean to be instant? It means to be urgent. It means to stand by, to be ready, to be on hand, to be in a state of constant readiness. And in this passage, it takes on the flavor of alertness and eagerness, a sense of insistence and urgency. The Christian herald, the Christian preacher of the word, is handling matters of life and death. God has committed this powerful stewardship to you and me, not only to those formal preachers, but in this very special, universal sense, every one of us are handling matters of life and death. We are announcing the sinner's plight under the judgment of God. Every man without the Lord Jesus Christ needs to understand that at this very instant, they're under, judicially, under the condemnation of God, that they are facing a devastating and perilous eternity apart from the presence of God in a place the Bible calls hell. We're announcing matters, handling matters that deal with life and with death. We must never lose our sense of urgency in pressing home on all occasions, in season and out of season, convenient and inconvenient, pressing home on all occasions the great message of God's word and the great claims of Jesus Christ over every man's life. Those who get their message across are those who have a note of urgency in their voice and in their hearts. It's to be an urgent proclamation. It's to be a relevant proclamation. You notice the Bible says, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Paul says there are at least three ways of proclaiming God's word. Sometimes we do them simultaneously. Sometimes we do them on an individual basis. There are at least three different ways of proclaiming God's word. God's word is profitable for a variety of ministries. Some men need to be reproved. Some men need to be rebuked. Some men need to be encouraged and exhorted. Bring home your message on a very relevant basis. To reprove is intellectual. To rebuke is moral. To exhort is emotional. It means to encourage. Some people are tormented by doubts. They need to be convinced and convicted by reasons and arguments. That's what it means to reprove. That's the literal meaning of the Greek word. To beat down false assumptions and arguments and erect the truth, the reasons and the arguments of the Word of God. Some people are tormented by doubts, and they need that kind of ministry. That's what it means to reprove. Some people have fallen into sin, and it is the task of the preacher, the task of the proclaimer, the messenger, to point out that sin without toning it down, with a view to correcting it. That's what it means to rebuke. Some people are haunted by fears and overburdened with pressures. And there needs to be a word of encouragement. That's what it means to exhort. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, intellectual, moral, emotional, meeting the man's need right where he is. Only the Word of God can do that. The faithful proclamation of the message of God's Word is a very relevant message. It relates to the man right where he is. The faithful proclamation of the Word of God can release a man from his ignorance. He can be reproved and made wise. It can release a man from his sins. He can be rebuked and made pure and holy. It can release a man from his fears. He can be exhorted and made to be encouraged and strengthened. If you want release from ignorance this morning, then you must respond to the message of the Word of God, personified in Jesus Christ and transcribed in the message of Scripture. If you want release from ignorance, you need the wisdom of God, you must come to the Word of God. If you want release from sin, then you must come to the Word of God. If you want release from fear and frustration and impotence, then you must come to the Word of God, and the Word of God can reprove you, it can rebuke you, and it can exhort you. It can meet your need wherever you're at. It's a very relevant proclamation. There's a third thing I'd say about this proclamation. It's to be a patient proclamation. We're to proclaim it with all long-suffering. You know, this is such a necessary ingredient in our day and age. Makrothumia is the Greek word, long-suffering. Makro means long or great. Macro and micro are used in our English language. Makrothumia demands the absence of the retaliatory spirit in the face of resistance and disappointment. You ever been resisted in your proclamation of the Word of God? You ever been disappointed that things hadn't gone quite as you had liked? That's why Paul says we must preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. It means the absence of the retaliatory spirit. You know, this was a word that was never used in classical Greek. It is a distinctively Christian word. It describes the kind of steadfastness of spirit which never gives in or gives up. It can endure any delay and bear any suffering without giving in to anger and hostility. That's the way the messenger of God's word is to be. Maybe you've been delayed. Maybe you've got that list of people you want to see come to Christ. Maybe there are those Christians who are not responding to the word of God in the way that you would like. Makrothumia, long suffering, which incidentally is produced in us by the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and verse 22. Is that spirit which never gives in and never gives up. It can endure any delay and bear any suffering. The Christian patiently deals with men because he unconquerably believes in the power of Jesus Christ to change any man. No man is beyond hope if he'll humble himself before Christ and receive him as Savior and Lord. Bow before the authority of God's word and obey what God says. He can be transformed. He can be radically changed. The Christian believes in that. And so he patiently reaches out to men because he unconquerably believes in the power of God to change any man. Finally, Paul says, it's an intelligent proclamation. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine or teaching. The Christian messenger must be marked not only by great patience, makrothumia, but also by great teaching. The Christian message is not only a preachment, it is a teachment. And these two are not antithetical, they're supplemental. Paul says, preach the word with all teaching in the circumference of one verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And he says, I want you to preach it all. All long-suffering, and that all, that particle all, grammatically belongs to the noun doctrine as well. All long-suffering and all doctrine. I don't want you to preach just bits and pieces of it. Not just the prophetic theme, which is the most exciting. Not just the salvation theme, which is utterly essential. That precious and great message. I want you to preach the whole counsel of God's word, from which you are delivered from blood guiltiness. Acts 20, verses 26 and 27. I am delivered from blood guiltiness only after I have preached all the counsel of God's word. Preach all doctrine, the whole counsel of the word of God. One of the great tasks of the Christian messenger is to teach the great moral and ethical implications of all that God has to say in the scripture. Now, Paul knew this would not be easy for Timothy, and I want to just introduce this first motivation. We'll finish it up next week. Paul knew that this would not be easy for Timothy, and he would know that it's not easy for you and me in our day and age. Fidelity to the word of God is not an easy thing in a world which resists the message of the word of God. Paul knew that Timothy was timid in temperament, and he knew that the times in which he lived were, to say the least, less than ideal. He's characterized those times in the third chapter for us, verses 1 to 5 there. He knew that Timothy, like us, like we ourselves, would be tempted to mute those elements of the gospel which are most offensive to unregenerate man. And so he sends along not only a charge, not only a series of imperatives, not only some commands, proclamation, but he gives us some motivational factors as well. He says, Timothy, here is one. I want you to look in three different directions, Timothy. One, I want you to see that Jesus Christ is coming. Two, I want you to look at people around you, the contemporary scene, and see the devastating need that they have. And don't be discouraged by that, but redouble your efforts because you see it. And then thirdly, I want you to see that I'm passing off the scene. Christ is coming and I'm leaving, and you're left behind with the torch. Look in these three different directions.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
There's only one source of release from sin. It is the Word of God, the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, and the written Word of God, the message of the Scriptures.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.